Our gospel reading is a little lengthy. Again, it's from Mark chapter 14, 12 through 42. The Passover with the disciples. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and say to him, one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and again to be distressed and agitated, and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray, so you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's so wonderful to share this special night together, this Maundy Thursday, because we get to see Jesus. Jesus, as we see in these passages that were read, but also the way he lived his entire life and ministry, is he endured every possible thing that a human being could endure. He was betrayed. He suffered. He grieved. He was more, Jesus experienced. And tonight I want to highlight three sides or aspects of Jesus that I see illustrated in the passages that were read, but also just in combining this night's passages with the other Gospels, especially the Gospel of John. We see these three sides of our Master, Savior, and Lord, and they are the servant, the teacher, and the friend. The servant. It doesn't illustrate this in Mark's Gospel, but in John's Gospel, it goes to great lengths to show that Jesus was the one who served his disciples, washing their feet, what a slave would do, or the least of them would do. And John 13 begins with this sentence that absolutely explains why he did what he did. It says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." The key verse in John, or in Mark's Gospel, is Mark 10:45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus modeled servanthood. So he was a servant, and he's also a teacher. Even in washing his disciples' feet, he was teaching them by demonstration of how they are to set an example in washing feet, in serving one another. And he also taught them, as you read, as you heard this about them celebrating the Passover, a new interpretation of this incredible ritual that the Jews celebrated every year. This is 1,500 years after the actual Passover, but every year since, Jewish people gathered to remind themselves of God's saving action in delivering them from Egypt. But Jesus was no longer recognizing how God did act to save his people. Now he was showing them how God is acting to save his people. He was no longer looking at this meal, looking back at Moses' deliverance or God's deliverance of Moses, but Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." He changes the meaning of this meal. He was to become the final Passover lamb. No other lamb would need to be ever slaughtered because he says his body is the bread, his blood is the wine, and he is the final Passover lamb. As Lutherans, we understand communion in this way. Here in the bread and the wine of communion is the real presence of Jesus Christ. It's not becoming the bread and the wine. Jesus' body and blood doesn't become these elements, but he is truly, really present. And that's why this meal is so significant, because his presence, when we take him in, we eat, we drink, we are able to receive forgiveness and strength for everything that the world will throw at us. So this meal is to bring us back to life, full life, abundant life, the life that Jesus gives us. And this meal is a remembrance that God is acting on your behalf. When you eat and drink, you experience the forgiveness of sin. And I love that, because have you ever prayed and wondered, well, I asked for forgiveness, but did it really happen? Did God really forgive? I believe that it did. But the amazing part about communion is you eat it and you taste that bread. And you drink it, you taste that wine, And because Jesus said, in this meal you will experience the forgiveness of your sins, you do experience it. Luther stated in the Small Catechism, where there is forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. So this meal brings us life, a life that's in right relationship with God. What's interesting to me as I've studied this this passage and what Jesus did and when he did these two things in the Seder meal, or a meal of order, is these things happened at a very significant time in the meal. In a Seder meal, there are four cups of wine that are poured, and Jesus takes the cup after the meal, which is the third cup, and the last of the unleavened bread that was blessed, broken, and eaten. As Jewish people celebrate the Passover, they would say this prayer: Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O Lord of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to eat the unleavened bread. Jesus took that bread, that last morsel of bread, he broke it, gave thanks, and adds, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in Passover celebrations in Jesus' times, all participants would recite a post-meal grace together and then pray over the wine. They would say, The name of the Lord be blessed from now until eternity. Let us bless him of whose gifts we have partaken. Blessed be our God of whose gifts we have partaken and by whose goodness we exist. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. And then the Father recites the third verb from Exodus 6:6. He says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. That's the cup of redemption that Jesus says, Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you. A new covenant, he says, he's given them, a new promise, a new idea. And so from this time on, Christians have gathered, like tonight, to celebrate this new teaching that was no longer recognizing how God did save the people of Israel, but how God is saving us, how he is saving his people. That's how Jesus is a teacher. So he's a servant, and he's a teacher. And he also shows his disciples this night that he is a friend. John 15 makes the disciples aware of a very important shift that's going to happen in their relationship with him. John 15:13 says, Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that you have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Tonight, the choir is going to sing one of my songs that I requested, because when I was in high school choir, we sang this very song, and I always loved it. And it was a song that has stuck with me my entire life. And I just, we were looking for music this season, I wondered if that song was still around, and I found it, and I got the last 17 copies that were available in the world, something like that. And so they're going to sing this song. As I said, Jesus knows everything that a human being can experience in life. And this song, I think, really illustrates that. The Lord knows what it's like to be a human. He knows what it's like to suffer, to grieve. And the beauty of this is that he's our friend, and he's standing with us at every passing hour to give us strength to say, as he did, Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. It's incredible strength given to us when we present our requests to God, when we share with God our prayers, our needs, our anxieties. Philippians says it this way, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The moment we lift our prayers to God, something happens in us, because we're not holding that just ourselves. We're not carrying that all alone. Now we have a witness. God is listening. God hears us. The song, Thy Will Be Done, is by Joyce Elaine Eilers. And it says that the first part of it, which you don't see because you don't have the music in front of you, that this is for Janet Howland in memory of her son, Eric. So this is the prayer of a mother. The prayer of a mother who, we assume, son has died. A grieving mother. But it's also the prayer of a mother who has a son that's not healthy, or who's in the far country, far away from God, and we're praying that they would come home. This is a song of placing all of our loved ones and ourselves into the hands of our loving Father. The song expresses exactly what a struggling soul needs to rely on, that Jesus never leaves us and is calling upon him in our time of need. It's exactly what we do. He's our friend. The song ends with these words, now, Lord, I feel you near me. I feel your guiding power. I know you're standing by me through every passing hour. And thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. So tonight, Jesus shows us three sides of himself. The servant who gives us an example to follow. The teacher who shows us that God is acting to save us now, not only in the past, but he is saving us through the forgiveness of our sins. And the friend who comes to us to strengthen us in our time of need. May tonight draw us ever nearer to his saving strength. Amen.
Sometimes, Lord, this heart of mine.